Opening song for this episode of Let's Talk Jesus here live from the Now Network. I've been stuck on Nicole C. Mullen all day with the topic of Let's Talk Jesus tonight, and that is My Redeemer Lives. Yes, our forum is to discuss and to discover Jesus as our source of our entire lives. Yes, we're going to bring a mixed panel of opinions that will share Jesus with the world through our testimonies to do what? Go and make disciples through our lives. I want you to know that no matter how sinful or broken you may feel, Jesus loves you. Jesus wants you. And Jesus is able to transform your life. It doesn't matter if you are a mainstream sinner or a reject sinner or a terminal sinner. Jesus can forgive your sins and heal your wounds and change the whole direction of your life. I'm talking about right now. The righteous and the healthy people, including some of us Christians that have that are backsliding and doing things by what we the way we want to do them, but that God still loves us all when we choose Him, especially to follow Him. And following Him means involving, sharing His love with others who need Him. His what's His love? What He did for me, how He brought me through, how He's never left me, how He's never betrayed me or done anything negative to me but give me life. I remember the moment I met Jesus, I immediately had a privilege to do the most important thing. And at first it was cloudy, but as you get to know Him, the most important thing that we can do is tell others about His love. And that is the goal of Let's Talk Jesus, that we can be transparent, that we can be on one accord, that we can be abiding by the same love, mind, and spirit that we've been called to have that mind in us that was also in Christ Jesus. Let's Talk Jesus. Are you ready tonight? My Redeemer lives. Yes, the first, our base scripture tonight is Job 19, chapter 19. Verses 25 and through 27. This is reading out of the New King James Version. It says in verse 25, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at the last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed," verse 26, "this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God." Verse 27, "whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. Oh, my heart yearns within me." Oh, what a dynamic writing of Job. But remember, Job was in tormented, that he was being under full attack. But he was still had the remnant of the Spirit of God to claim it. "For I know that my Redeemer lives." What a story. But in this time, we're talking about the Redeemer. Oh, Jesus. We're talking about Jesus. And does your Redeemer live in your life? Oh, I know we clap our hands. I know we shout. I know we go to different functions. I know we do this and we do that. But does He really live? Because I'm learning that the more He lives in me, the more you can see it through what He's doing in me. And as I'm moving forward and sharing with others to do the same thing, that as He moves in you, you can now move with Him. But does your Redeemer live? The question, because now we know that He is alive. It's no more question that I know He will. No, I know He's alive if you are a believer of Jesus Christ. Remember, in Christ Jesus, old things passed away. Behold, all things become new again. That's being in Him, and that is not the woulda, coulda, shoulda, or what someone else says. That is the Christ that is alive today. See, when your Redeemer is alive, He lives through you. So you now become the Redeemer. He said in John, "If you believe in me and the works that I do, you shall what? Do them also." And I know we're always looking for the miraculous things that people would jump up and down and get all excited about. But I am getting, in the place of confirmation in my personal life, that the more I get like Him is confirmation on the inside. And others are just agreeing with it. They're not coming up to me and say, "Oh, what is it? I see all this on you." And yes, there are some prophetic words that have been confirmed. by the Spirit that speaks to my spirit, and it should do you the same way. But watch this. Now you just agree with people. I'm learning. I used to look for people to give me accolades and to open doors for me and to tell me how good a job I've done. Oh, glory. But now the Redeemer who lives in me is because he's alive. And he's no longer dormant. He's no longer waiting on. He's no more just the available Christ. He is the accessible Christ because I believe that he's alive, and I believe that he lives in me right now. Galatians 2, chapter 2, verse 20, 21, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. See, I'm not worried about the physical, but the spiritual life that lives in me. Oh, my Redeemer is alive, but he lives through me. Is your Redeemer alive? Oh, we're talking tonight. Let's talk Jesus. My Redeemer lives. Yes, he lives through me. But my Redeemer is alive because Christ is right back at the right hand of the Father, where we should seek those things which are above. Read chapter 3 of Colossians. Revelations can also show us this in verse 1. This is chapter 1 of Revelations, 17 through 18. And he says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives, glory, and was dead. And behold, I am alive, and I have the keys of Hades and death. Oh, yes, my Redeemer lives in me, but my Redeemer is alive. Get in the discussion tonight. Oh, yeah, this is a good one. I can preach on this one because I got all kinds of scriptures to come with this confirming word, but that's what talking about Jesus is. Let's get it sparked up. Let's get it going, and let's open up the lines and bring in our team and anyone else out there that wants to get in this discussion. Dial one right now. But does your Redeemer live? My first panelist that is, we talked last week and it's like, okay, we need a break from Mondays. We're going to look at some other things. And then here she is tonight, Minister Michelle, she dialed one before we even started this show. Does your Redeemer live?
Yes, absolutely. He lives. He lives in me. Amen. And he lives, and he gave us life, and that's the most important thing. Because of his life, though, we're able to live. That's what I really want to say, and that I'm just so grateful that he is our Redeemer. And you say, well, what did he redeem us from? We know Galatians 3:13 of the law, by becoming a curse for us, for it's written, curse is anyone who hangs on a tree. And because he loved us, he gave us his life freely. And, I mean, it just compels you to want to love him back. It's just so, I say it all the time, blows my mind. I can't comprehend it. But he is a Redeemer. He has redeemed everyone. And he's given us all the opportunity to be reconciled back to him. All we have to do is accept him, believe it, and receive his love. And it's a beautiful, wonderful thing to be redeemed and to be bought with a price, which is his precious blood of Jesus. And I thank him for redeeming me and loving me enough to give his life for me, that I may live and may live more life abundantly and have an everlasting life with him forever. And so I'm excited about Christ the Redeemer. Amen.
Yes, amen, amen, and that's, and what's right, look? Yeah. I mute myself to give you full airways. Yeah. I'm trying to hit the button, but you know it's good that as we know that our Redeemer lives, and he lives in us. It's so awesome to see that the same life that's in me is in you.
Absolutely.
Because it's Christ, you know. And I've been around. I've been churching since I was a kid. I mean, I've been in church all my life. And seen a lot of things and, you know, a lot of different stuff. But to now see the Christ who lives, not the picture on the wall, not the ornaments or the different occasions throughout the year, but to really have that personal relationship that he lives in me. He's alive,
Absolutely.
But he lives in me. You know what I'm saying?
And you know, what's awesome, too, is that we don't have to have anyone else go, you know, we don't have to kill any animals. We don't have to sacrifice anything. We don't have to go to the priest and have the priest to pray for us or anything like that. It's just an awesome situation that we're in, and we have to be so grateful and understand just how symbolic it is that we can go directly to the throne of grace, that we can actually speak to Christ personally, one-on-one, that he is our personal Savior, that the curtains and the shield and all that was torn in half, you know, when he died, that we can now come straight to the throne of God, and he's at the right hand of the Father making intercessions for us. It's wonderful.
That's right.
Awesome.
I'm going to bring in our next panelist after this, but I want to read this scripture because this is one of my favorite chapters of my study, Hebrews chapter 8. But in verse 11, and I could read the whole thing, but watch this. Just in verse 11, it says, "None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me from the last of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more." In that, he says, a new covenant he has made the first obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. You ain't got to.
Praise God.
Because of the new covenant. And the new covenant was what? Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Ooh, he redeemed us into a new walk and a new relationship with God one-on-one.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for redeeming us, Lord.
Ooh. No, wait a minute. Let me go to 12 because this is written on about five different places in my residence. "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Just that one verse, verse 12 of chapter 8, I just thank him every time.
That's powerful, yes.
I just thank him every time because he made that step. You know, it wasn't anything we could do. We weren't worthy of it. It was done by grace and by favor only, but he decided to make that statement. He says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds.
Yes.
I will remember no more." Out of all that, somebody need to hear this tonight. Why are you remembering if he doesn't remember no more?
Yes, that's awesome.
Amen. Apostle Deb. I'm not taking you out, Minister Michelle. We're gonna keep it live. Let Apostle Deb come in and get it fired up, and then we can bounce with her as we go. Good evening, woman of God.
Good evening, everybody. God bless you.
Good evening, woman of God.
Oh, awesome. I love you so much. I'm telling you, this has been resonating in my soul all day, and I am just so glad to partake of it with you tonight. I have been thinking on many scriptures today, and I want to go back to the focal scripture in Job chapter 19, because truly, I know that my Redeemer lives. Amen. Huh. And it does not matter what anyone else says or what anyone else feels. It is personal. And you have to have a personal relationship with Christ, because there are going to be many opportunities for things to try and come and shake your faith. But even in Job 19, the focal scripture was, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth," 25, "and that he shall stand," he's going to stand in the latter day upon the earth, talking about the Lord. But that made me to also think about Job's stand, because when you back the scriptures up in verse 2, he said, he was talking to his friends, and he said, "How long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with your words?" Come on here, because people will try to shake your faith. But God has given you the Holy Spirit and the word of the Lord and an understanding to know that Christ is living in us. And we have to remind ourselves that our Redeemer lives. And when you jump over to the book of Matthew and you go to Peter, where Christ told Peter in the book of Matthew chapter 16, verses 15, and now he, you know, Christ was asking, "Well, who do men say that I am?" In verse 15, he said unto them, "But who do you say that I am?" And that also made me think about Job said, in chapter 19, verse 2, when he was talking to his friends, he was basically telling them, how long are you going to try to vex me and convince me that I'm not saved, or that I'm not this, or I'm not
that's right,
that, because
that's right.
I know that my Redeemer lives, because he lives in me. Amen. And then in verse 17 of Matthew 16, it says that Jesus said unto them, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. He was talking to him and said, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Because you have to have a personal relationship, because every element of life, even your bad habits, bad attitudes, whatever things that God is still working on in us, will say to you, you're not saved, or you're not this. And as someone was just saying a few moments ago, you know, we can't keep reliving the past, because we're to look to the future. We're to look to Christ, who is the rock of our salvation, because he is the Redeemer who lives in us. I'm going to leave it right there and let somebody else go ahead and take it on.
Oh, no, look, you can get it. No trip. Once we get fired up, you'll hear us humping and amen and going from there. But that is the most.
God.
It has to be prolific, and it has to be. A prophetic word to myself. Oh, glory! Thank you,
mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Amen.
A prophetic
amen.
Word to myself, and that goes through even saying that he lives in me. There's you know. Let's go back to Pastor Dwayne says, the basics. 60% of people in church don't believe he lives in them. 75% mm-hmm. don't even believe he's real. But when you get down to the statistics of it, do we really believe he's in you? Romans 8 and 10 says, but if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness.
Amen.
So he has to be alive in me, and I have to start seeing the residue of righteousness in my life. Oh, glory.
Praise God.
Well, is anybody? No.
I'm
trying to throw some people in the bus here. But it's that point of testifying it and letting people hear it more and preaching it more and sharing it more.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, we could go over to the book of John in chapter 16. There's so many wonderful scriptures that Jesus has provided to us to understand that it is a personal relationship, but it is not just by the reading of the Word of God, whether you grew up in church or you don't grow up in church. I'm just going to throw this in there, because Paul said, why should I, in other words, why should I have all this knowledge and preach to others and I myself because I've become a castaway, not understanding that it is Christ that dwells within me. But here's what John said in chapter 16, verse 8, when he's speaking about the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus was saying in the record of John. Jesus said, I have many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now. And he was talking about people being immature and not prepared to receive the knowledge of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. He said, howbeit when the Spirit of truth comes, hallelujah, talking about the Holy Spirit, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God and knowledge, and you acknowledge that Christ is living in you, that the Spirit of God will guide you into all truth. And you will no longer doubt your salvation. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't still grow and have to overcome some things, because we're all growing. We're all learning. And we have to remain teachable and allow the Holy Spirit to work within us. But the Lord has already given us proof that the Holy Spirit will teach us everything that we need to know, and that it does not matter what other men say as long as we know that our Redeemer lives in us. Amen.
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 Praise God.
Amen.
All right, y'all got quiet on me, so I'm going to take it a little bit further. He said, how be it then when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, but he shall not speak of himself. So we can't go around bragging on ourselves and saying, oh, I'm saved and I'm this and I'm that, because it is the Redeemer that lives in us. We are to glorify the Lord. We are to glorify Christ Jesus, the one who redeemed us, amen, who has actually saved us from our sin, not past, present, and future, all sin. So it doesn't matter what you may go through. And I'm not saying that this is a reason to sin, but you've got to understand that Christ is the only answer to our sin nature, that Christ is the only answer to every problem that we have. And you have to know within your knower, and the knower is your heart, and you can't get into your heart unless the word of God is applied to your heart and the Spirit of the Lord is revealed on top of the word that he is the redeemer of our soul. And we won't speak of ourselves, but we begin to speak of Christ, the redeemer, because in verse 14, here's what Jesus was saying, and the Spirit of the Lord shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, because we're receiving of God. So therefore, we are testifying, we're witnessing the Christ that dwells within us. And who is that Christ? He is the Father. He's the Holy Spirit. He's the Word. He's everything that we need, all wrapped up in one. You can pick it however you want to pick it. You know, people argue and fuss about, well, I'm a Jesus only, or I'm a God in Christ, and I'm this and that. But here's what I want to tell you. I'm the Word of God. Yet it is something you can see. Hallelujah. Because everything that the Word is, that's what I am. Amen. And that's what you are. We're all a product of the Word of God. And when we get that revelation, we will understand it. It really doesn't matter how you want to twist it, flip it, or turn it, that Christ is the only answer, and he is the only Redeemer. Amen.
Yes. Praise God.
Somebody ought to say amen. Look, amen. You know, Lord told me just back up tonight because I was, you know, I had I was all ready. And he said, no, back up. Let it go. But, you know, look how the Spirit flows, because Jesus, him dying on that cross, y'all, and you said this, that is by his redemptive death, his redeeming death. That's the only way we could have been forgiven of our sins and brought back to God, because Amen. We had sinned and fallen short. But not only that, then he rose. Ooh, glory. Victory.
Oh, yes.
Then in the resurrection, he became the living, life-giving Spirit. And then as the Spirit, he was available to everyone who's willing to enter into the belief system that he redeemed me. Woo. Was anybody a little bit more redeemed than they were at the beginning of this broadcast? Oh, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Absolutely. I just thank the Lord that he loved us enough. Amen.
I need you to pronounce your name for me. Hold on, Minister Michelle. I'm going to let you come in here, but I wanted to open the line.
No problem. Go ahead.
Pronounce your first name, please, on the line, live here. We've heard you several times, but I must have pronounced it wrong.
Minister Charlene.
Charlene. Oh, that's what I thought. Charlene. Charlene.
No.
Anyway.
Yeah, Charlene.
That's what I said, anyway, Charlene.
Yes, sir.
Well, Minister Charlene, welcome. Is he redeemed in your life?
Oh, yes. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, my soul. I'm not ashamed to say that I was Baptist once upon a time, but I am apostolic, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized in Jesus' name. I'm not ashamed to say it, but I do agree with what the sister said about being in the Word of God, because, you know, we can go from Genesis to Revelation and talk about what personal experiences with our walk with God and the Word of God, how it has impacted our lives. So it's with the fire of the passion of our heart for God that we love God so much that God, even with our walk with him, he pours out of his Spirit and he just makes his Word come alive. So I thank God for what Job was talking about. He said in Job 19:25, he said, "For I know that my Redeemer and my Vindicator lives. And at the last day, he will take his stand up on the earth." And what I got out of that verse, I had to look up the word redeemer. The redeemer, the one, a person who brings goodness and honor, who gives something back, who regains something. Something was lost. Something was stolen. You know, we were born in sin. We were shaped in iniquity. So because of the sin and the enemy being in the earth, it was his goal to distract us, to help have us be blinded and in the darkness to not realize we lost something. It was something we needed to have regained. We needed to have someone to vindicate us. And Jesus, the Word that became flesh, you know, stood in the gap for us, and he regained us. He gave us hope. He gave us, you know, it's more than just pages on a book, because I wasn't there when it was written, you know, but the word is alive. And I thank God that my Redeemer lives, because it has given me hope when I was depressed, when I was sad, when I felt lonely. These emotions, people that are saved have experienced feeling like they've been thrown under the bus or any other negative connotations as a child of God or disrespected. But the word of God says, oh, but you are more than a conqueror. Oh, but I came to deliver you. I came to set the captives free. I came to give you hope in a lost, dark world. I came to save your everlasting soul so you would not be lost and destroyed. And then he said that after his mortal skin was destroyed by death, he said he will see God. Not nobody else's eyes. He was talking about himself. He was going to see God. You know, it's humbling. It's humbling because nobody
wants
to talk about
death. You got three clues on that.
It's humbling because nobody wants to talk about death. But Jesus Christ came to give us life. So we got buried with Christ in baptism. So we are risen in newness of life. So just like he told Nicodemus, he said, you know, you must be born again. So this is a life that I know my Redeemer lives, because it's been a constant this for that, that for this. Whatever God want to do, I'm like, Lord, okay, let him have it and let him give you something in exchange for that. And that's life everlasting in Jesus' name.
Ooh.
Praise God.
Come
Amen.
On,
although that was it. She covered it all. Only thing I would add is that anybody on the line who may feel like, you know, well, did he come to redeem me? You know, I've messed up so bad, you know, or I want to get my life right before he can redeem me. I want you to know that Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his love to us while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. So while we were still sinners, he loved us enough to die for us then. So you don't have to worry about all that. You just come to Christ and he'll get your life together. It's already there for you. Salvation has been paid. It's free, paid in full by the precious blood of Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And he loves you with an everlasting love. Yes, he does.
Well, look, can I take y'all to the next step? I was reading 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, 10th verse. It says, when he comes to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at in all those who have believed. See, Christ's second coming, it's going to be marvelous. Oh, it's going to be marvelous. But you know what that scripture just said to me? It's looking for the marvelous redemption work in those of us that through his glory is revealed, because we've been true believers. The Christ
Hallelujah.
In us, who lives in us, being formed in us. When he's revealed, it will be revealed from within us. I say this all the time. I'm trying to prepare myself for the place that has been prepared for me. So even in my body, it must be transformed to match him, because I am redeemed.
Amen.
I know a lot of people don't tell you about that. They say, well, when he comes, he's yes, it's going to be marvelous in his coming, but it's going to be more marvelous in those of us that are standing here ready, saying, yes, sir,
Absolutely.
Attention,
yeah.
I'm ready.
Yes, God.
I've been standing. I've been withstanding. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed, not just waiting around, like, oh, you caught me. Hold on, can I get one more day? No, yes, sir, I'm ready.
Praise God.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Mr. Michelle, I hear him coming. Can you pray for me for this? No, you have to be ready on your own.
Right, man of God.
That's that Preach. Redemption power that Christ lives in me.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Ooh, I like that. Lives in us, formed in us, revealed in us, transformed in us, that we can match.
Yeah.
What do you say? Holy and acceptable in his sight.
Amen.
What a glory to God and a shame to the devil.
Amen.
Come on.
No, Pastor,
don't you?
I'm sorry. I didn't want to overstep you.
No.
I just want to jump in there and say that I personally believe that I didn't grow up in church. And because my family, my mother and father were
God bless you.
Protestant teachers and pastors and things of that nature, okay? And they had an understanding that from their lifestyle that it can create a different, a variance of relationship with God when you grow up in church, because somehow there is a, and I'm just going to keep it real, in a lot of people's lives, there is a manifestation of I'm saved because I've been in church all my life. And because I did not grow up in church, I learned to fear the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I learned to accept God's word. And I'm not saying that this, not to raise your children in church. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying
can I just throw one word in there to help not help
sure,
you, but help
sure.
the, but tradition,
yes.
religion
yes, exactly.
is not relationship.
That's what I'm saying.
Because, you know, it's a lot of folks that go to church just because my mama went there. They still go to the club. They still go here. They still go there. They still do this. They still do that. But because mama went to church on Sunday and they didn't look at mama praying Monday through Saturday because they was doing their thing, they think going to church is enough.
Amen. Amen. And that's what I was about to get to, because my relationship was built on the basis of relationship with God, so that when the Lord began to call me, and he called me at a very young age. I mean, I was 3 years old when I got saved, believe it or not. But I wasn't in the building every Sunday. And I'm not saying that I didn't go to church, but I wasn't raised on the pew is what I'm saying. But I was raised to have an understanding that having a relationship with Christ was important. So I've got a conviction, and I just want to reach out to somebody to say that it really doesn't matter whether you've been in church 10 years, 40 years, or 10 days, or 1 hour. The real issue is that you have to know that your Redeemer is living inside of you. And because here's the way Paul put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, because you're going to hear the word of God preach, but it has to take root in your heart, because it says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, it seems foolish, because they're not hearing it. They don't have the relationship with God. But unto us, hallelujah, who are the saved, it is the power of God. For it is written that I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing understanding of the prudent. And here's what the Lord is saying, that when you have a relationship with me, you will know that you are saved. You will understand the power of God that is working in you. You will understand that the word of God is working. You will have a love for the word of God, and you will become less consumed about, quote-unquote, religion and tradition, and really want to tap into the relationship with God and spending quality time with him, quality time in the word, and having an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us, the church.
You know, you said,
and I know my Redeemer,
and I'm gonna bring this part up here, because it may be to some people's advantage not to be brought up in church, because the most important thing is that I was brought up in church. I was a PK kid, made to go to church, had to clean the church, had to go to practice, had to play the drum, had to do this. And the first chance I got to get out of there, I was gone. Joined the Marine Corps, didn't even had a football and a basketball scholarship. But just to get out of church, I enlisted in the Marine Corps. Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
Listen, see, relationship is different than religion. Because religion would tell you do things this way, that way. Relationship says, no, learn me as I learn you. You abide in me, I abide in you. And anything you ask in my name, you shall have because of relationship. So someone out there say, I ain't never been to church, then you got a jump start on me. Because we can get you started tonight on your starter kit to a personal relationship with God, and not have to go through all the religious stuff that we didn't had to go through 30, 40 years to be healed about. Well, I'm talking to me, and I'm talking to somebody else tonight. But it's, you know, I want someone out there to know that after we said that so many times, is that be encouraged that no matter where you are, for God so loved the world, that means no matter where you are, that he gave his only begotten son, that's availability, that whosoever believed, that's the access of being in Christ, believing in him, now putting all the things behind you, letting the new things come back in your life. That's the Spirit of God that speaks to us, that guides us, that dwells in us, transforms us, and redeems us. That you could tell somebody else, Oh, don't think you made it, graduated, and you can put the plaque on the wall. It's time to tell somebody else that that same love is available for you.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
It's a good conversation, Pastor E. I wanted to say, I think it does come down to relationship versus a religion, because I did grow up in the church at an early age, but I wasn't forced to go. I went because I wanted to go, and I accepted Christ as my personal Savior as a very young, very, very young, probably about 5 or 6, and that relationship, me accepting him and getting to know him personally, it became very personal to me very, very young, and so I just grew up with him in my heart and never wanted to, like, offend him or to really let him down, no matter what I did, when I did good, when I did wrong, when I strayed, when I was, you know, rebellious, everything I did, the Holy Spirit always drawed me back. And I think because I got that personal relationship so early, you know, that's what kept me, you know, kept me all these years. I think that's what brought me into the ministry, all that, from just being a young child, accepting him, wanting to know who he was, wanting to know who loved me. Who are they talking about? Jesus is love. Who is this person? You know, and all the Bible stories and all the things that you do in Sunday school and all those things really did get in my heart, got in my soul, got in my spirit, and it really did draw me as a young child. So I think it can go both ways, you know, but it really comes down to what you both just said, and it's personal. When you get to know them personally, when you let your children know them for themselves personally, that's what makes the difference.
Yes, yes. Amen. And that's why I encourage anyone that you have to explore something new. You have to go somewhere that you feel like you're being fed, that you're in a place where when the word go forward, you out of there bubbling like, oh, I got to go read this. I need to know this. This made it personal for me. Instead of just being in a dormant place, I believe me, I grew up in the same situation, but being under that umbrella is a little bit different for a lot of people, especially when you grow. Oh, anyway, another story altogether.
I feel you.
I feel you. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was gonna give my father a little love, because I was gonna say, well, you know, the man who baptized you got you started, that because that was just a spiritual thing, and then you wanted to come back.
Yeah, that was my dad. I mean, at one point in my life, I would go to church by myself, Pastor E, as a little girl.
I know.
So I was just always fascinated by you know, the word of God. It just always just stirred up something in me from a young age. Not to say that my life was perfect, but that, you know, that seed was planted very early.
Right, right.
Amen.
So,
and you
so,
know, a hunger in your heart.
Yes.
You start with a hunger in your heart, because I was raised in church, and I got out of church feeling like, you know, it's kind of boring or whatever, but, you know, the hunger in my heart that there was more to life than just existing. So the hunger was in my heart. So I came to the Lord and asked the Lord to fill my heart and see, help me to receive what it is he has for me.
Amen.
It's definitely a relationship. Because I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't want to be, you know, caught up in just the do's and the don'ts. And it's like you're in a cold-hearted type of establishment, and there's no love. There's no, koinonia, no fellowship, no true fellowship. You know, that you're not asking anybody to give you anything. You're not trying to, you know, kiss up to anybody to have people, you know, like and accept you. It's the love of God that's being shed abroad in our heart. And that's how we know that we're in the fellowship of the church, of the body of Christ.
Mm.
Because we have love one to another. It's genuine. It's not pretended. You know, some preach the word of God out of contention, but they said, nevertheless, the word is preached. But from conviction, from the Spirit of God. It's like, you know, I can out-preach the next person. They can out-sing me. We can out-shout the next person. And it's flesh on parade. You know, it's roll out the red carpet. You know, que sera, sera. And God's not in none of it. It's like we're performing.
What you say?
God, there's a world outside. There's a world outside that don't even know how to worship God, how to praise God. They don't think God loves them because of their woes and what they're going through. And then, you know, when God rests your heart, you come into the house and the saints are looking at you like you're crazy, and you're trying to say, what's wrong with you? Don't you love Jesus like I love Jesus? You know, like someone say, well, I'm not baptized in Jesus' name, I'm not baptized for all time. We could fuss with each other about all that, but like the woman God said, the word in you. Because if you have the fruit, you know, the tree is known by the fruit that it bears, you know. And we can't, you know, look at the fig tree. When Jesus saw that fig tree, didn't have no fruit on it, he said, you know, no fruit grow on these from this time forward. So we don't want to be a display of a
fruitful tree. We don't want to be something that's a lie, that's a fake, that's a, you know, we're not fooling God. You know, God looks at the heart. He's not look. He sees us. He sees church every Sunday. He sees Bible study every time. He hears these conversations we give on these on Facebook Live and all that. But at the end of the day, you know,
he
is
knows.
It that we're in our culture.
Yes,
how
am I judging my sister next to me, even baptized Jews, am I looking at them like they ain't got Jesus like I got Jesus? I mean, at the end of the day, you know, God's looking at our heart. He's like, he that serves me, he keep my word. He that, you know, he said he had to do the will of his Father that sent him. So if we're about our Father's business, at the end of the day, I have to rebuke myself and say, Lord, help me not to be jealous of my sisters and brothers. Show me how to love them. Show me how to entreat them. Yes, it's a two-way street, but God's looking at the heart.
Praise God. That's good. Amen.
Because I'm going to bring this in. Right, nobody said this tonight. And it, we've said it, but we've said it in so many different ways. But this is what helps me. And I'm not trying to stop nobody from going on the corner church. I'm not trying to tell nobody, don't go here, go there. Do what God tells you to do. But before you go to any building, you better establish the church in you. You can't have worship somewhere. Now, I'll be honest.
That's
the physical church is where believers come to affirm, confirm, and establish that God is real. Because we hallelujah together. We worship together.
Amen.
In physical church. That's what physical church is, to receive a confirming word. But you know the church is in me first.
Mm-hmm.
And if I ain't having a revival up in here, I can't have a revival down on the corner or at 2027 84 or 200 North Long Beach Boulevard. Or
all right, Pastor E. All right.
Because the church is in me, just like we just said, Christ.
Yes, crucified with Christ.
Christ.
Amen. Well, the scripture reminds us that unless God draws a man, and that's exactly what you said, except the Spirit of the Lord draw a man, you can't even come to Christ. So you have to have the drawing card, a conviction, whether you in the building or you're out the building, to even have a relationship. It's a toy. You just have to make it up in your mind and say,
I need to change.
And the only reason that you're going to know that you need to change is because the Spirit of the Lord is going to be drawing your heart and your mind, because we're not strong enough to be able to do that. But here's the good news, that Christ has made salvation available to everybody.
The good news.
Oh, Jesus.
Right.
Yes. Good
news.
Come
unto
me.
Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden.
I
will give you rest.
Amen.
I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Right now.
I be lifted up above the earth. I will draw men unto me.
Yes,
that's Jesus.
Yes.
That's the one.
Yes.
He's the one that came and died. He's the one that was buried. He was the one that got up on the third day. He's the one
now
that said, in me,
about Jesus.
Him we live and move and have our being.
Right.
In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. We're known by
the
Spirit of God.
Yes,
we're known by the fire of God.
Yes,
we're known by the Word of God. That's how I know my sister. He's drawn his daughters from the north, south, east, and west. His sons from north, south, east, and west.
In
Revelation, it's his will that he said the tabernacle of God is with men.
Big woman
he
of
said
God.
He will wipe away the tears from their eyes. He will take away. There will be no pain, no more death, no more sorrow. He said,
amen.
They will be my people.
I
will be their God. God said,
I
will be their
word.
God. So that's what God's looking for. He's looking for a people, and he's looking for his people to have him as their God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes.
Praise
the name of the Lord. And when is he looking?
God.
When is he looking for us?
Amen.
Now. He's looking for us to do it right now.
He's looking for us now to be his daughters and sons right now.
That's
amen.
Right.
He's looking for y'all God right
salvation
now.
Salvation is
he's like, I
want
to be your God now. I've been wanting to be. He's like, I want you to make it. I've been looking for you to make it.
Amen.
I want to make sure that they can hear us, because she's talking real good. And I know we're jumping
yes,
in,
is.
But
praise God.
She's talking real good because, can you go back and repeat some of that? Because there was a lot of conversation. I quieted down, and I was hearing like multiple voices, because I think that needs to be repeated, because we're all in agreement here. Would you say that again, Minister Sherlyn, if you don't mind?
Okay. Okay, so Acts 17:28 says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." And so it's God is looking for a people, and God is looking for his people to look for him to be their God. God wants us to have him as our God. And he's looking for his people. He's looking for his sons and his daughters. He's calling them from the north, south, east, and west to look to him, you know, that he's our God. His arms are open wide for us to come to him. And, you know, yes, all these different churches, all these different, but he said he's drawing his sons and daughters. You know, he's calling them, come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me. I want to be your God. I want you to be my people. You know, it's his will to wipe the tears from our eyes. It's his will to take away the pain. It's his way to take away the sorrow. It's his will. It's his heart. So that's what my conviction is. When I go out and I get a chance to talk to someone, I'm like, Lord, what is the message? The message is God is looking for a people so he can be their God. Will you let me be your God? I'm here. God will not be ignored in everyday life. Yes, we have our things we have to do, but at the end of the day, God is not going to be ignored. When he did those signs and wonders, he showed forth the revelation that I am, that I am, that I exist. I created you. He's jealous over us, but it's a godly jealousy. I created you. I fashioned you. I formed you. I made you for myself.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all, now you're trying to start another teaching. But here, you know what, Apostle Deb, she got to going, and all of us, I'm full, so I'm letting it go. And thank you for calming us down. Me and Minister Michelle, we all off the hook.
The
like, oh, Shabbat.
Yep, getting excited. Amen. I had to learn up the spirit in us.
Amen. It needed to be heard. And I'm so thankful. Now, I know you're the host, but I just wanted to make sure that the people could hear it in clarity, because this is what I keep hearing the Spirit of the Lord saying, that even though I'm not the host of this show.
We all are hosts of this show. This is Let's Talk Jesus.
Amen. Even though the listeners are hearing multiple voices, we are all in agreement.
Absolutely.
We have different walks. We have different testimonies. But it is the same God, hallelujah, the same God that has on us. It's the same word that has blessed us and kept us and redeemed us and is still keeping us. It is the same testimony of Jesus the Christ. Amen. The testimony of Job
tonight.
So the Lord is saying to anybody on the line tonight that whatever your testimony is, however you're coming in, whatever you feel that you don't have, that he is the equipper. Because any time that you receive Christ, you're going to get everything that he has within him. Somebody else like me might be the one who's digging it up, and somebody else may put salve on the scab after I done dug it up to take out the infection. But guess what? It will all work together in Jesus' name, because we are on one accord, talking about the same Christ, our Redeemer lives. Amen.
Yes, and amen. Amen.
Same mind, God. Same love, same spirit. Yes, that's one of the things about Let's Talk Jesus. I don't know if you ever heard that, but it's a mixed panel of opinions that will share Jesus with the world through our testimonies. And my testimony is this, because what God has for me is for me. And all the rest of the panel you hear, what God has for them is for them. But it's the same God.
Yeah.
And all it says is glory to his name.
Amen.
All it says is everything is because of him.
Amen.
With him, we can do nothing. I mean, without him, we can do nothing, but with him, we can do all things.
Amen. Yes, praise God. Amen. That's
we're going to open the lines for anyone that may have a comment, question. There may be one person out there that just, I don't know how you got on the line, but you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. We want you to dial one right now, because we have a starter kit for you and get you in your right place. But we also have a private room that you could talk to one of our ministers, evangelists, pastors, apostles at this moment to get you what you need. But anyone else that just has a comment or maybe just want to ask a question, dial one right now and want to give you an opportunity to join the panel of Let's Talk Jesus. This has been Dynamic Women of God. Pastor Dwayne had a double overtime tonight. Oh, my little backup, my little backup male voice, you know, is doing what God has called him to do, be a manager and a good steward. So we thank you guys for being so dynamic. Minister Terry, I see you want to come up on in this Let's Talk Jesus conversation. Good evening, woman of God.
Good evening, family. Good evening. Praise God. I'm listening to all of you guys, and I tell
praise God.
Oh, praise God. Good what evening, a word. Sister. You guys, good evening. I love and appreciate you all. My God, I'm telling you, I thank God for the archives because you guys gave a wealth of words tonight. And it's so much that I have to go back and listen over because I'm just listening and I'm over here just like, ooh, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. That's Minister Sherilyn and Apostle Deb. Ooh, welcome, welcome, beautiful ladies. Thank God, thank God, thank God for joining the family, lifting up the body of Christ, the church. And I heard you guys say, like, church. I didn't go to church. My grandmother, my mom, and you know, they went faithfully and they prayed. And I went because I thought that was something to do. So I'm a late starter, but you did say, have that personal one-on-one relationship. You don't have that. You can have that relationship within you and take that. But you have to have that within you so you can share with others. So that's what I'm working on. I work on it diligently every day. Every day. That's the first thing I do when he wakes up my eyes and give me another opportunity. So I thank God for what you guys are doing, you ladies, you family, you team. I just thank God for you because it inspires me to do more and want more of his word and of his love. So God bless
glory.
You guys. God keep you
well,
guys.
Mr. Terry, I thank God for you as well. Now, let's not forget you have your own, what is it? What's the word? Yes, with Minister Terry, and you're doing an awesome
12:30
job.
12:30 Pacific Standard Time, Friday.
Yes, Friday. Yes. I thank Lord for you, your beautiful spirit, and just how much you've grown and how much you've given. And just, I like this. I'm just excited to see
glory
the
to
work
God.
That the Lord is doing in you and through you. And just to stay encouraged, be encouraged. It's a
thank
lot more
you.
Work
amen.
For you to do, and God is going to continue to grow you. Amen. Love you too.
Amen. Love you all, and love and appreciate and honor you guys so much. God bless.
Love you too.
Thank you.
Love you too.
All right.
I know your story. If they only knew where we come from, if they only knew how far really God has brought you. Oh my God.
Yes.
He's a
miracle
worker.
He changes life.
Worker.
Mr. Terry is such a beautiful spirit, though. You really are.
Oh, yes. Yes. But he can
God
change
you
when
all.
You decide. When you, but he can also change you when you decide to let him change you. You got to say
yes. Oh, the change I want to see.
You got to say yes. You got to say yes,
speak
amen.
It. Speak it.
And every time that negative word or no come up, you got to say yes some more. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
Amen.
God bless you all.
God bless
you.
God bless you too.
Love you.
Anybody else, go ahead and dial 1 and get in the conversation if you have something to discuss about your Redeemer living in you, but my Redeemer is alive. Oh, glory. And he lives through me. That's my message tonight. You better know that your Redeemer lives. He's alive. He's not dead, but he lives through you so you can let someone else know how alive he is. I want to give us an opportunity for closing remarks in any order. Minister Michelle first. Apostle Deb, second, minister. I'm gonna have to talk to you personally because I see your name is Charlene. But
Charlene.
I don't know. Anyway, we'll let you come in. Pastor, he's trying to give you a new name.
Praise God.
Minister Michelle.
So I just want to say it's been a
Yes, it's been a wonderful conversation and dialogue, and I was blessed by each person on tonight. I just want to say God bless each person. We have talked Jesus, amen, and I just want to encourage mm-hmm. anyone who's on the line to know that he's not just our Redeemer, that that redemption that we're talking about, this Jesus that we're talking about, this personal Savior, the love that we spoke of is available to you as well. He loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but should have everlasting life. Now, everlasting life is free, it's paid for full, and it's available to you. All you have to do is believe it and receive it. Amen. Praise
now,
God. Hallelujah. Glory to his name.
Amen. And I just want to add to that, that the Lord loves you, that God is a God of love, and no matter what you may be experiencing today or what you have, what you're feeling right now, that Jesus really does love you and that he will heal your wounds. No matter what you feel about yourself, that you can just give it to Christ because he is your Redeemer. I know that many people are already saved on the line tonight, and the Lord is just saying that I am coming to heal you. I've heard that through the whole time that we've been talking. And that you need to think more. You need to think more of yourself. The scripture says that we're not to think more highly of ourselves, but you need to think highly of yourself when you have low self-esteem, because the Savior in you is not a low self-esteem God. And he wants you to know that you can open up your mouth and you can praise him and you can magnify him and you can glorify him and you can tell someone else, whether you, I'm going to keep it real with you, whether you're still smoking weed, whether you're drinking, sexing, having all kind of problems, but if you know that Christ is your Savior, trust me, he will work it out. Hallelujah. He will help you to overcome every situation, so you might as well go on and shout the victory in Jesus' name and say, like Job said, even though the skin worms are still destroying my body, that's what he was talking about, there's some stuff going on in my flesh, I know that my Redeemer lives, and I just want to encourage you tonight to know that he is still living in you.
Minister Charlene.
Amen. Just want to thank God for this program tonight and just encourage those that are out there. St. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him. Know that he's everything that you need. He is the answer to your prayers. He is the answer for your purpose, your destiny. Everything is in God. Seek God with all your heart. Trust in him and just, you know, give your life to him. And don't be discouraged. Don't feel like you have to impress people. You have to you know, be somebody that you're not. Be what God wants you to be and trust in him. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. I want to say this in closing is that even when the negative comes, when you're in the positive field, even when you're in a good place and the bad shows up, even when those crazy thoughts that are always revolving in your mind in opposition to the good, remember this, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. The Redeemer comes that you can live in confidence. The Redeemer came so you could live in courage. The Redeemer put it forth that your belief could be set by his power. Your faith could be set by something you could never know from the outside, but only from the inside. And that your trust would have to be totally reliant on him. That he can lead you, guide you, and protect you in all situations. Let the Redeemer live in you. He's available right now. All you got to do is say yes. Listen to this song tonight and say, my Redeemer lives. But you gotta say it like you know it.
Where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening?
Good night, family. Know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated. And most of all, most beautifully made by God.